Shekemoi, Shenishmas Adam. He memala kol reish memches evrei haguf medei shivad raglai. Just as the human soul pervades all 248 organs of the body, from head to foot, which means from the highest of part of the body, from the highest part of the body to the lowest part of the body, that the soul pervades the entire body to the extent that no organ, no portion of the body remains void of the soul. It's memala, it fills all of the organs. Va'af al pikei, nevertheless, ikir mishkon av ashra asahi b'maychai, the soul's principal abode and its dwelling place is in the human brain, which here again we are confronted by a similar contradiction. On one hand, we say, the Alter Rebbe says, the soul, where is the soul? The soul is to be found in every part of the human body. There is not an element or a component or a limb or an organ or bone or tissue or a cell of the body in which the soul is not present, from head till foot till toe. On the other hand, we talk about the fact that the principal abode and the dwelling place of the soul is precisely in the brain, not in any other part of the body. And this contradiction is similar to the contradiction discussed above. On one hand, we say, there is no place devoid of Hashem, Hashem being the soul of the universe. There's no flake or speck or nuance in the universe that is devoid of His presence. Then we say that in certain places the Shekhinah dwells, like in the Holy of Holies, or in other special places. You talk about the dwelling of the Shekhinah in a shul, in a yeshiva, in a beis medrash, in a special particular human being, in Yerushalayim, in the Eretz Yisrael, unlike in the diaspora. So he compares it, Nipsari Yachzalaka, the same is happening in our own life. On one hand, the soul is everywhere, in the entire body, in the toenail, as much as in the brain, or in the abdomen, or in the heart, or in the lungs. And the other hand, you say that there's something special about the brain. The brain is the abode, the seat, the home. That's where the soul lives, and nowhere else. That's its home. How do we reconcile these two elements? So now, the Alter Rebbe develops an elaborate discussion on the nature of the soul and its relationship to the body. And I have to give a little introduction here. The next piece is quite complicated. Although apparently he's not scarce in words, the Alter Rebbe devotes much more words for this than he devotes to explain the concept of Hashem's unity in chapter 21. But yet it's very obvious here that the theme is extremely nuanced and delicate and sensitive, and it's not easy to understand. And we'll start it today, and we'll finish this part of it next week, God willing. I'll try to explain it to the best of my ability of what I understood, but I'm sure that there are many layers of depth, I mean, you could see it, that are contained in the words that that I really don't even appreciate. And I do suggest that you review it, and you even come up with your own understand, you even delve into it on your own and try to figure out and decipher what the Alter Rebbe is conveying here. Because it's obviously very profound. Particularly, it would be fascinating to discover the parallels of what the Alter Rebbe is saying and how it coincides with what we know today from a medical and scientific point of view in the area of neurology and its association to the entire body. Now, just a little introduction. How I'm going to explain it is based on later Hasidic discourses that elaborate on this subject and explain it in a way that we can understand it, I can understand it in a clearer fashion. In the literature of Chabad Chassidus, there is a discussion about two forms of energies that the soul provides to the body. Yiddishkeit introduced the concept of a soul, of a neshama, of a nefesh. The body has a spiritual, a consciousness that grants it life. But there are two forms of life, two forms of energy that the soul provides to the body, and both are via the brain. Both forms of energy. One is called chayus klali, and the other chayus prati, which means general life force and a detailed or a custom-made, an individualistic life force. There is a general energy that the soul provides to the body, which is actually equal in the entire body. It gives life to the head, just as it gives life to the foot and to the stomach. You're not going to say that the stomach is more alive than the foot, or even the lungs are more alive than the abdomen. All of them together constitute one organism that constitute a living human being. This comes, there is a certain generic, a certain general life force that the soul provides to the entire body equally. It's a certain general sense of life that pervades all of them identically. And from this life force stems the feeling that I am alive. I don't feel that I'm alive in my face more than in my stomach or in my legs or my hands. I am alive. All of me is alive. The pinky, as well as the toe, as well as the heart, as well as the brain, of course, and every other part of the body. This is a chayus klali that doesn't differentiate between different organs. But then, obviously, there is another energy that the soul provides to the body. And these are the specific functional powers that differentiate one organ from another organ. And each organ receives a unique energy from the soul to grant it its particular functional power, which is distinct. The eye receives energy that allows it to see. The heart receives energy that allows it to process blood. The lung receives energy that allows it to produce oxygen. The ear receives energy that allows it to hear. And the leg receives energy, the foot receives energy that allows it to walk. The same is true concerning, besides the functional powers, each one of the organs also receives an individual life force that is suited, it's custom made to that particular organ. Since, as he said, the abode of the soul is in the brain, both of these forms of energy come through the brain. And it's these two forms that the Alter Rebbe alludes to in the next few lines. Let's see. Ve'afal became nonetheless. Iker mishkan of Ashrasi b'maychai. The principal abode and dwelling place of the soul is in one's brain. U'mehamayach mispashates l'chal eivar. And from the brain, the soul is diffused throughout all of the organs. There is a certain simultaneous life force that issues forth from the brain to all of the organs, the entire body. That's one point. And then the Alter Rebbe adds a second point. V'chal eiver, each organ individually, mekabel mimena, receives from her, from the soul, chayiz v'koyach harayilai, a different form of life force and functional power. He says two things. A chayis, a life force, and koyach, and a power, a functional power, harayu loy, which is appropriate to it, to this organ, lefi mizgayot chinasei, according to the organ's composition and character. Based on the tissue, on the makeup, on the anatomy of this organ, it receives a particular energy, a particular life vitality, and a particular functional power that suits it and allows it to maximize its potential and its role and function in the human organism. And he gives an example. Ha'ayin lirois, the eye receives from the soul and the brain a life force and a functional power to see. And the power of sight accords with the smooth and the translucent tissue. It's the translucent nature of the tissue of the eye, which is of a different nature of the tissue of the ear or the foot. Va'aizen, the ear receives through the brain from the soul a life force and a functional power that allows the ear to hear, to actually hear, to perceive sound. Va'apeh, the mouth, with the vitality and the functional power, l'daber, to speak. Without the soul, and without the soul's energy, there would be a physical mouth, and a physical ear, and a physical eye, but they wouldn't be alive, and they wouldn't be functioning. The soul allows these physical substances to be able to function, and to maximize their capacity. So we have the eye to see, the ear to hear, the mouth to speak, and finally, and the feet to walk. So each organ in the body, in accordance with its composition and character, receives its life force and its functional power from the soul, which lives in the brain. And Alter Rebbe says, "Kinir b'chush," we clearly sense this. Shebemayach, that in the brain, margish, a human being is conscious, a human being feels, kol hanifol beramach evarim, everything that occurs within the 248 organs, and everything that is experienced by them, the human being is conscious of, and he feels it in the brain. And this demonstrates what we have said, that in the brain the person feels and experiences everything that occurs within all of the organs and anything that they experience. Because the brain apparently is the nerve, the brain is the nerve center and the principal abode and source of the life force of the entire body, and therefore in the brain everything that occurs to the entire in any place of the body is experienced in the brain, huh? Chayis v'kayach. Every organ receives from the soul chayis, energy, vitality, life, and kayach. And power, functional power. A certain type of vitality that's custom made for your tissue, for your composition, for your makeup. As well as kayach. The power to function in the way you could function, whether it's you have to hear, or you have to see, or you have to walk, or you have to breathe, or reproduce, or digest, or whatever it is. Yeah. So the energy comes from the soul. Well, he started off here that the soul is an entire body. Nonetheless, we say that the primary home of the soul is in the brain. And from the brain, through the brain, the soul transmits energy through to the entire body. Yeah. The energy comes from the soul and the brain to the entire body. Later in the chapter, the Alter Rebbe will compare it to the light that comes from the sun. The sun would be compared, the very ball, the very sphere of the sun is compared to the soul and the brain. And the rays of light are the rays of energy that are transmitted through the nerves and the other elements of the body to each particular component of the human body. He'll say that's the sun. That's the analogy he gives. But the sun itself, the sun is not present in this room, thank God. If the sun would be present in this room, we wouldn't be learning here. We would have klais hanefesh. Huh? What? That's the contradiction. He asks, on one hand we say, yeah, but now he's going to get back to that. Now he left that aside. Now he's following the idea that it's in the brain. The sun is in the brain, and rays from the brain issue forth to the entire body. Now, the Kenira B'chush, as we clearly see, is an enigmatic line in Tanya. What is the Alter Rebbe proving here? That all the organs receive energy from the brain? After 50 chapters of Tanya, chapter 51 of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is proving here to the human race that everything occurs in the brain. Everybody knows that the brain is the nerve center. In the brain you have the central nervous system. The brain is responsible on anything and everything that goes onto the body. Every particular sensation of any part in the body is experienced and felt and processed through and within the brain. This is Pasha what Alter Rebbe is saying. Alter Rebbe is teaching me that everything, the brain is responsible for everything, and you see practically. Then in the brain, the person experiences, in the brain, one is conscious of everything that occurs. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. Yeah, of course.
Specific life force, detailed life force, is that a symptom of the general life force?
That's a good question. If the detailed life force is a symptom relative to the general life force, it's a very big symptom. Of course, the soul has to contract itself much more to provide the detailed life force than the general life force. Yeah, we'll discuss that. Next week we're going to deal with it.
It's basically the same life force, just that...
Yeah. One life force is synonymous. Right. Synonymous in the entire body.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well. Quoted in the beginning of chapter 19. Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam Chayfis Kol Chadrei Vatin, right? Proverbs, which chapter?
Chapter 20, verse 27.
We should all learn from him how to learn Tanakh. So the lamp of Hashem, say it again, the lamp of God is the soul of man.
The lamp of the Lord is the soul of man, searching all the inner chambers of the body.
Searching all the inner chambers of the body. Which is what he's saying here as well. Yes.
I said that because what we're talking about connection with what Shlomo HaMelech was talking.
Right, which Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishnah. But here, really, I mean, this is just will be an example of the depth that is contained in every word of Tanya. And here we owe gratitude to the Lubavitcher Rebbe for pointing out the meaning in these few lines of Tanya. You know, it's easy to read this through and say, okay, thank you, Alter Rebbe, for teaching us that the brain is so central, and if a person is brain dead, they have no hope, and it's basically all in the brain. Alter Rebbe is actually telling us here, sharing with us here, a very fascinating concept. This is a big chiddush, it's a revolution, what he's saying. In Kabbalah, there's a big question. I mean, this is what I want to discuss, and we'll culminate with this theme. In Kabbalah, there's a big question if the relationship between the soul and the body is superficial or genuine, profound, real. Let me explain what the question is. We just discussed the fact that the soul provides the functional powers to each one of the organs to be able to function according to their capacity and their design and their anatomy. But here one can ask a question: what is the connection of the particular functional powers of the individual organs to the soul? One can explain, the soul provides a generic energy. It's uncompound, it's uncompounded, it's indivisible. It's an ur pashat, it's a generic energy. However, when this light or this energy or this spiritual force enters into different vessels, they make particular use of the energy to fill various functions. I think a great example for this would be electricity. In each of our homes, there is a refrigerator, there is a heater, there is an air conditioner, and there's a stereo system. You're not going to say that the electrical current that provides power, electrical power, to the stereo system is different in essence from the electrical energy that provides power to the refrigerator. You'll say, the electrical wires that pull the electric from the outlet in the stereo is a musical type of electricity. And the electricity that gives power to the refrigerator is a cold type of electricity. And the electricity that gives power to the heater is a hot type of electricity. There is one current of electricity, the power, electrical power. However, when it's pulled through the wires into a refrigerator, it's used to cool. When it's pulled into a heater, it's used to heat. When it's pulled into a stereo, it's used to allow you to hear beautiful music. So the same you would be able to explain concerning a soul. The soul is, so to speak, an electrical current. It's generic, it's indivisible. When it comes into the ear, the anatomy of the ear is of such that it's used in order to allow the person to hear. When it comes into the eye is of such nature that it uses the energy to be able to see. And the same is true concerning the foot, and the same is true concerning the mouth and all other parts of the body. Another example, and this is a famous example, first given by the great Kabbalist, the Ramak, Reb Moshe Cordovero from Tzvas, in his monumental work, Pardes Remoinim, The Orchard of Pomegranates, to discuss a different subject, and that is concerning water. Everybody knows, if you'll have a green cup and a red cup and a yellow cup, and you'll pour water into these cups, so the outside observer will look at a green cup filled with water and it will seem as though the water is green or the water is red or the water is yellow. But everybody understands the water is not green. The color of water is that it's colorless. It's just when it enters into a certain vessel, it appears to assume the colors of that particular vessel. So in that sense, we could say the soul is colorless. The soul doesn't have any ingredients. The soul doesn't have any a shade, any type. It's indivisible. But when it comes into a green vessel, it's used in one way. And when it comes into a red vessel, it has a different effect. Here it has the effect that I could see. And here it has the effect that I should be able to hear. That's one way you could view it. And this was one way that some philosophers and mystics understood the soul. Another way you could understand it is no. This, in the soul itself, there's a divisibility. The soul itself has different forms of energy and powers. Each organ attracts a certain element of the soul. One way you could understand the relationship of the soul and the body is that the organs create the distinctions in the soul according to their tissue, according to their composition. The soul itself is indivisible. The various organs create, they generate a distinction based on their own, just like the refrigerator creates one type of use from electric, and the heater another type of use. Or you could say no, the division is there in the soul inherently. Every organ attracts the component of the soul that is relevant to its particular tissue. The soul itself has different forms of energy, different functional powers in its own spiritual essence, in its own spiritual identity. And then, when the soul enters into the body, every organ attracts, like a magnet, the part of the soul that was relevant to it. Yeah. A hand and a glove. Huh? With electricity and a vacuum cleaner is the same. I said a hand and a glove. Where? Perek Dalad. Yeah. In chapter 4 in the beginning, the Rebbe uses the term Taryag Avri Nafshe, 613 organs of the soul. Now, to phrase the question a little differently, the question is as follows. The various functional powers, the various kaiches, the various powers and functions of the body, are they exclusively a property of the body and the soul itself is totally liberated and removed from it, or no? The functional powers of the body, the power of sight, the power of hearing, the power of reproduction, the power of digestion, the power of processing blood, are properties of the soul. In the soul you already have these spiritual energies that are that parallel, that correspond with these physical functional powers. And therefore, even when the soul departs from the body, the soul will also have an experience, and the soul will also have a connection to sight and to hearing. The soul itself has a power of sight and a power of hearing and a power of smell and a power of moving and a power of digestion and a power of reproduction. Now, this question is not just about the soul and the body. This question in Kabbalah is about Hashem and the world. Spheres. I mean, it's one of the big questions in Kabbalah. We all know that there's a concept called 10 spheres, discussed many times, which means Hashem emanated 10 attributes, 10 qualities, and they are the 10 building blocks through which the entire world was created, is sustained, and is invigorated at every moment. The 10 building blocks of creation are the 10 spheres, 10 qualities, 10 attributes. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yisoid, Malchus. Conception, comprehension, application, attraction, rejection, compassion, victory, surrender, bonding, and confidence. And this begins in the world known as the world of Atzilus, Olam Atzilus, discussed in 38, discussed in 49. So there's a big question in Kabbalah, a big debate among Kabbalists. There's distinctions. The divine light is expressed through Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chachma, Bina, Das. These distinctions, similar to the distinctions of a body, Chesed is the right arm, Gvur is the left arm, Tiferes is the torso. Where do they begin? Do they begin in the light? Or are they exclusively properties of the kelim, of the vessels? Which means, Hashem's light is absolutely indivisible. There's no such a thing as Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, and Hashem's light. Hashem's light is uncompounded, undefined, cannot be qualified by any attribute. It's simple, it's undefined. You talk about Hashem's energy of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes. No, it's exactly like electricity. When the light enters into the vessel, which is not Hashem's vessel, it's a creation. It's not Hashem's light. A creation of Chesed. The light expresses itself and it does something of the nature of Chesed. It cools the house. When the light enters into the vessel of Gvur, which is not a divine vessel, it's a created vessel. It has an impact relative to the nature of Gvura. And the same is true to Tiferes Netzach. But the light itself transcends any division. And this is the metaphor that Rabbi Paradis gives with the water. Green water, red water, has nothing to do with the water. It's in a green vessel. It seems like green to you. Hashem puts his energy through Gvura, through a green vessel. But they can't connect the greenness to the water. They remain disconnected. What's the difference? What's the difference? The major difference. This affects the whole approach to serving Hashem. We know what the real question is. The real question is one thing. Is there hope for our personality? Can my individual personality ever become connected with godliness? Or in order to connect to godliness, we must transcend personality. We must escape individualism. We must leave our character in order to discover liberation. Can Chesed ever become godly? Can Gvura become godly? Can my love, can my discipline, can my compassion, can my competitiveness, Netzach, could my confidence ever become godly? If I say that the light itself is indivisible, and the entire division ought to be attributed only to the created vessels, not to the godly energy, it would mean that the godliness in the personality could never be associated with the individualistic features of your personality. The godliness, it remains only in that which is which serves as the common denominator between all of the features. But the individualistic features and patterns of your personality, that is ungodly. For experience godliness, you have to transcend your individualistic features. The quality of chesed is not godly. The godliness of chesed is only in its common denominator with gvura, with tiferes. In other words, in its transcendence. When a person surrenders everything, when you lose your personality, you totally nullify yourself, you can discover godliness. But in the green, in the red, in the individual shades and colors and gradations and ranks of an individual person, you can't find godliness there. And therefore, Chassidus adopts the idea of many other Kabbalists that no, the distinction already exists in light, in the light. The other Kabbalists have a great point. How can you say that Hashem's light is divisible? So Chassidus, similar contradiction here. Chassidus tries to create a whole scenario that both opinions are ultimately true. And this is really the same question that Alter Rebbe raises here. Same question. How are we to view our body? Can the details of a human body really become soul-oriented? Can they become spiritualized? According to the first perspective, the soul is a soul. The soul is totally indivisible. However, the soul sends energy to the body, and the body uses it for its own functional powers. But the functional powers of the body remain coarse, they remain physical. Or you could say, no, the soul itself has these properties, which means the various properties of the body are really spiritual experiences that then express themselves in a physical form. comes the Alter Rebbe, and what he wants to tell us is, it's not that the organs receive an energy from the soul and processed in their own identity, it takes on different forms. No. The various shapes and functions of the organs, that itself is a soul experience. Look at his words. The organ receives from the soul the energy that's relative to it, the energy that relates to it. It receives it from the soul. The power to see and the power to hear, it receives from the soul. And the soul already have these different forms of energy. And this is what the Alter Rebbe wants to prove. Because everybody understands, the electrical current, when it comes into the refrigerator, cools your house. When it comes into the vacuum cleaner, it cleans up the dust, right? But when it leaves the vacuum cleaner, when it returns back to itself, it doesn't take the vacuum cleaner back into the source of electricity. If you would say, that's what Alter Rebbe is saying, that the soul and the brain is indivisible, and the vision only happens in the organs of the body as a result of their own anatomy. So when the energy comes back to the brain, to the soul, and it's experienced in the brain, it should be experienced synonymously. It should experience all sensations in a synonymous way, in a synonymous fashion. There should be no difference of how it feels, of what happens in the foot, or what happens in the eye, or what happens in the ear, because the vision is attributed only to the body. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. That's what he's saying, the nira b'chush. That's what he's saying. You see? The fact that in the brain you experience every detail and every nuance of what happens to every organ individually, and the brain knows this is sight, and this is hearing, and this is walking, and this is a scratch, and this is an infection, and this is pain, and this is whatever it is, and every sensation is different relative to the tissue, relative to the function, relative to the nature of the particular organ. It means that in the brain itself, the soul in the brain already has all of these different forms. I, you could say one thing, you could say one more. I think the Rebbe points this out. You could say, fine, say it's generic energy, but just like as a block of silver, you take a block of silver, you turn it into a candelabra, you're not going to say that the piece of silver before was a candelabra. But nonetheless, once you turn it into a candelabra, that form stays. So you could say the same thing here. Once the energy of the soul travels to the rest of the body, and the rest of the body places a form in it, it acquires that form. But still, if the soul and the brain is indivisible, it would never be able to experience the distinctions it experiences. So the Alter Rebbe wants to prove from here, what the Alter Rebbe says is that in the soul you also have all of the qualities that it provides, all of the qualities that exist within the body. And this allows us to understand that the connection between soul and body is not superficial. It's a genuine connection. The soul is made in a way that it suits the body. It's not the soul is generic. And the body does with it what it wants. The soul is fashioned in a way that it suits the body. And this has profound spiritual implications, like I said before. That it's not only you could use the energy for a productive thing. Every functional power of the body is really an expression of soul. It's not a physical experience, it's really a spiritual experience that takes on a physical form. Your reproductive energy, your digestive system, your walking, your breathing, every process of the physical body is really a soul experience. It's not a bodily experience, it's a spiritual experience, it's a divine experience. And therefore, Chassidus demands and shows how every dimension of the human body can be served as a vehicle that it itself should express godliness. Not that it should be used for spirituality. It itself should express godliness. You understand what I'm saying? What do you...
Man became a living soul.
Yeah. One of the interesting examples, by the way, of the difference, if you say the first way or you say the second way, it's clear that the Rebbe says the second way. I mean, we'll see it soon clear. We will see it even clearer, further, even more clear, that this is what he's trying to say. It concerns the future, when Mashiach comes. just briefly, we'll conclude with this. The Rambam, we all know, the Rambam believes that Olam Haba, the great future world that is the ultimate culmination of all of history, will not happen in this world. The ultimate reward will be provided to the Jewish people and to the human race in heaven, in the spiritual worlds. Olam Haba. The Rambam brings this out in Hilchas Tshuva, in Hilchas, in his Pirush HaMishnayos to Masechet Sanhedrin, and primarily in his letter known as Egeres Tchias HaMeisim. And the Rambam brings the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin that Olam Haza, Olam Haba, Ein Bo Lo Achila, V'lo Yishiyah, the future world has no eating and no drinking and no physical needs. And he says, because it's not going to be in this world. So he sees history as follows. Mashiach comes, which allows for a time of political emancipation for the Jewish people, followed by the era of the resurrection. But then ultimately everybody's going to pass away, and the ultimate reward is an Olam Haba in the spiritual world. That's the Rambam. That's the Rambam's view. That's the ultimate reward is not here. Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead, is just a temporary era, but then you go on to the next world, and that's where we stay forever, in the higher spiritual worlds, not in a body. One of the great proofs the Rambam brings in his letter, Igeres Tchiyas HaMeisim, to this idea is, he says, if Olam Haba, as many people learned, is in this world, which means Mashiach comes, and that's followed by Tchiyas HaMeisim, resurrection of the dead, and in this physical world, we will experience the ultimate reward and the great schar that culminates history. So then why does the Gemara say, Ein bo lo achila v'lo yishiyah? It will be a time when there will be no eating and drinking. We will be living in this world without eating and drinking. So you'll say, yes, we will not need physical nourishment. If so, the Rambam says, why will we need a body for? Ha'im chalila yiyah levatala? Hashem is going to have us with a soul and a body, and the whole body is basically in me. Now you need a body to live. In this world, you need a body to live. But then, what do you need a body for? Oh, so you're not going to have a body, so it's not physical anymore. So that's what I'm saying. If you're going to have a body, the body is really in vain. You don't need it for anything. And the Alter Rambam says, Chas v'sholim she'iyu po'ol loisav kibu'olus oivdei hatzlamim, einayim lehem v'lo yiru. God forbid to compare Hashem and say that during the final Mashiach, Messianic resurrection era, Olam Haba, Hashem's activities will be similar to those who create idols. They create idols that have eyes and don't see, ears and don't hear, noses that don't smell, and they call them gods. Basically, our body will be a wasted, a futile entity that serves no purpose. Then the Rambam says, maybe you're going to want to tell me that we're going to have bodies, but the bodies are going to look differently, and they'll serve different purposes. Now our body has a mouth. He says, then what? If, unless you're going to say the bodies are going to be different, it's going to serve different functions. It won't have the same form. But he says, if it has the same form, the mouth is a waste, the digestive system is a waste, circulation is—it's all in vain. You don't need it. So it's basically a whole creation that's levatala. The Rambam can't conceive it, and therefore he says, "Ein elu hadvarim el eschoik." This is. He says it's nothing but humorous to believe this. Mi yitin hachrish yachrishim atihilam lechachma. I wish they would have been silent, and it would have been much wiser thing for them to do. But we know that many great sages, including the Ramban and most Kabbalists and the Alter Rebbe, disagreed with the Rambam, and they believe that the ultimate reward of history will occur in this world, and this is Olam Haba. Yes, because the body will be sustained not through physical food and not through physical drinks. Frekdi Ramban and Shar Hagmul, he discusses all of the questions of the Rambam and he answers them. What about this question of the Rambam? What do you need a mouth for? It's in vain. It's not serving any purpose. So he gives two explanations. One explanation the Ramban says in Shar Hagmul is, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Eivorim Elu. These organs worked hard for 5,000 years. Hashem has to reward them. The mouth worked hard. So this is the time that it just gets to enjoy. But then he adds something else. He says, There is something about the organs of the body in and of themselves that contain deep secrets. And therefore Hashem wants it should exist. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. The mouth or the digestive system is not just a means so you should be able to eat. And if you don't have to eat, no, there's something about the shape, about the chemistry, about the anatomy, about the tissue of these organs that is sacred. It's an end in and of itself. It's not, its existence is precious. That's what the Ramban says. It has deep secrets. Now, the Avodas HaKadosh, which is a Kabbalistic work that was authored by the great 15th century Kabbalist Meir ben Gabai, a book called Avodas HaKadosh. In Chelek HaAvodah, in chapter 42, he discusses this. And he explains it more at length. And he says, HaKel ein b'maisa Hashem poil batel. Hashem is not keeping something existing which is in vain. Ki HaKelim ha'ela asuyim l'tavnis klei ha'merkava. These vessels actually reflect the structure of the vessels of the chariot. Merkeves ha-reichiv b'shmei shmei kedem soid ha-atzilus. The chariot of the rider that is in the world of Atzilus. V'lazehu muchrich sheyiskaimu ha-keilim ha-ele kiyum nitzchi. L'fi sheheim moishchim ha-kiyum imekerim v'sharsham. V'ein kiyumam toli ba-achilu ursiya kiyim b'dveikusam v'sharsham. You need these entities because they actually bring into the world their the source of their own structure, which is very spiritual, and that's how they are sustained. They won't be sustained through physical food, they will be sustained by connecting to their spiritual source. And he discusses this at length. Now really, this is connected to this issue that the Rebbe is dealing with here. They're discussing the design of the body, but the same is true concerning the functional powers of the body. And the same is true concerning the design of the body and every single physical element of the body. If you say the soul just gives a genetic energy and all of the divisions and all of the details and all of the compartments are exclusively a property of the physical body. So once you don't need these properties because they're not going to give you any benefit, they're basically existing in vain. Zagdal Terebin, no. Every single tissue and every single design and every single functional power of the body is a continuum of something that exists in the soul. The soul is custom-made, it parallels the body. So these are really spiritual experiences that take on physical shapes and physical functions. So the physicality itself serves a spiritual purpose. They are precious. Or in the Rambam's words, the Ramban's words, they are soides amukim. It's a soul experience, it's not a body experience. It's reflected on the body. This is the first point that the Rebbe makes. And then we'll continue, God willing, next week, the next point. This is the beginning of the discussion. I do, if you have the time, I would urge you to review this chapter because it gets even more complicated. 51 and 52. But it's difficult. I mean, it is difficult. I don't want to leave it so abstract. I'll just conclude with a story. A little dessert. Yeah. I mean, the ice cream cone, yeah. Not that I can't give you the steak, but I can give you the ice cream. There was a Litvak, a Lithuanian fierce opponent of Chassidus and Chassidim, who once came to the Alter Rebbe. And he came into the Alter Rebbe's room and he started to give the Rebbe Musar. He started to rebuke the Alter Rebbe. He says, "Why do you have to behave in a remote way? Why is it that in front of your door there's somebody, you have somebody standing and he doesn't let anybody walk in whenever they want?" And he tells the Alter Rebbe, "Who do you think you are? Why can't you just be a regular human being and mix with everybody else?" He says, "You daven in your own corner. It seems like you behave," he says, "you behave in a fashion which is remote from everybody else. Why do you have all of these customs? Why don't you just become one of the guys?" And I don't think he said it in that fashion, but that was the point of his words of rebuke to the Alter Rebbe. Now what happens if somebody would come into a shul today to a big Rav and start telling them, "Well, who do you think you are? What are you sitting up there?" Right? What would they do to him? What would the Rav do? Huh? Tell you what Alter Rebbe did. Alter Rebbe listened, and he didn't answer. He put his head into both of his palms. He buried his head in both of his hands. And he went into a state of introspection and meditation for a long time. And everybody who saw it realized that Alter Rebbe is in another world. Finally, he lifted his head and he tells this Jew who was, as I mentioned, a big misnagid, a big opponent of the Alter Rebbe, he says, you know, when the Torah discusses leaders of Klal Yisrael, the leaders of the Jewish people, it uses the term Roshei Alfa Yisrael, the heads of the nation, the heads of the multitude of Israel. Roshei Alfa Yisrael. Now, the Alter Rebbe says, a head is part of the rest of the body. A head is one with the body. God forbid to create a separation between the head and the body, and life cannot happen. Nonetheless, we see that it is the custom of the world that we don't have one garment that we put on our head, and that garment goes down from our head and it covers our entire body. Rather, on the body, on the rest of the body, we put on one piece of clothes. And the head has a special garment. We call it a hat. Because if you want, you could have one garment and you put it on your head and it goes all the way down. But it's the custom of the world that the head gets a special garment, a special avush, and the rest of the body gets another garment. What's the difference? If it's all one body, why doesn't just the head wear what everybody else wears? So the Alter Rebbe told him, he says, well, a cup, Dav Zayin Abgeshet from dem Guf. There has to be a recognition that the head, which is the seat of the brain, is distinct from the body. And therefore the head is privileged that it has this, it gets this hat. This Misnagit actually liked the answer. It was a litvish answer. It was like it wasn't a very soothing or inspiring answer, but it was a sharp answer. Now, the Rebbe said there are heads, and the heads have their own garment. There has to be an element of distinction. And he really liked the answer, and he left, and he thanked him, and he appreciated it. He agreed. The Mittler Rebbe, who heard the conversation, didn't like the answer. He comes into the Alter Rebbe, and he says, no, fine. It's an answer, it's not an answer. You're saying, basically, that a leader is a leader. A leader has to behave like a leader. What do you have to meditate for? What was so complicated? What do you have to put your head down? So the Alter Rebbe said like this. He says, when Korach rebelled, he created a mutiny against Moshe Rabbeinu. He shouted and he said, Kala Eida Kulam Gdoshim Ubatoichem Hashem, Madua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem. The entire community is holy. Hashem is among everybody. Who do you think you are, right? Why are you Moshe and Aaron superior to anybody else? Which is really the question that Alter Rebbe asks here. The Shechina is everywhere, right? Who are you? Why? What is the uniqueness of the brain? Which is what the man asked Alter Rebbe. Who do you think you are? Madua Tisnasu. Why do you behave in an exalted fashion? This is what Korach said. So Moshe responds, and Moshe says, it's not me, this is what Hashem wants. And he tells him, Boiker v'yoda Hashem, he says, Shaloi v'ikir v'vav. In the morning Hashem will notify whom he chose for the job. And we all know the rest of the story in Parshas Korach. Right? Moshe responds, it's not me. But it doesn't say that. Before that it says, Vayishma Moshe, Vayipol alponov. Moshe heard, and he fell on his face. Only afterwards did he tell him, Boiker, in the morning Hashem will notify. Why did Moshe have to fall on his face first, and only afterwards could he respond to Korach's complaint? The response is a very straightforward one. It's not me. Go to God. What do you want from me? I'm not an arrogant, superior power, a seeker of power, a dominant freak who has to exalt myself over the Jewish people. I'm not a power freak. It's not my thing. Hashem chose us. So he could have said it right away. The Alter Rebbe said it as follows. When you see the sensitivity of a leader, he says, whenever a person comes to you and he criticizes you, even if you have a ready answer, you have to examine yourself. Why are you giving him that ready answer? Are you giving him that answer because it's true? Or maybe your ego is a little bit involved. If it's a subjective issue, if the person is complaining to you, you don't know. Maybe the person has a point, and maybe a little bit of your ego is involved with refuting them right away. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard what Korach had to say to him, Moshe feared that maybe Korach was telling him something truthful. It was coming from Hashem. It wasn't coming only from Korach. Korach was the messenger that was nominated to demonstrate to Moshe Rabbeinu his flaws, his deficiencies. Just to tell Korach, you're a rabble-rouser, you're a nobody, wouldn't solve the situation. Maybe Korach is saying something genuine, and he has to listen and get the message. Korach might not know it, but Hashem maybe appointed Korach to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, the ego, there's a problem with the ego here, maybe. If Korach would be asking Moshe Rabbeinu an objective question, answer it if you know the answer. But this is a personal issue. And Moshe has to examine, maybe there's something that Korach sees. The first thing is Vayipul al Panav. Moshe went into a state of deep introspection to see if there is even a spark, if there's even a mashu, a speck of egotism, of a sense of superiority relative to other Jews. Moshe had to drill and dig and pierce through all of the layers of his soul to see if he even has a bit of arrogance. Only when he realized that he's really, really pure, and it's really not about a personal sense of superiority, but rather about a mission that Hashem empowered him to serve as the messenger of God to the Jewish people. Only when he realized that that is really how he feels about himself, so he realized that Korach is not a disguised agent from Hashem. Korach is a troublemaker. He's a troublemaker. That's what he is. So he told him, Boyke v'yeda Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe says, before I could tell this Jew what I told him, I first had to examine myself and examine if there was something truthful to what this man said. And in that sense, the Alter Rebbe will bring out here also that the soul is talking the entire body, but there's something special about the brain that doesn't exist in the rest of the soul, as we will learn next week. Have a wonderful week. I'm sorry, it doesn't exist in the rest of the body. Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like it's an expression, it's not like the truth. The axiom has to be, is a given. It's not taking it from the observation. Because if you really want to take the argument, you can take the argument from the mayach in relation to the notion to the nefesh. But fine. So you found the relation. You found the aver and the mayach. But now take your argument between the mayach and the nefesh. But the nefesh is a warm, pure kayak. It only the mayach is makabel each area according to its.
No, he wants to say the nefesh has it already. The nefesh is in the mayach.
That's a given. That's your axiom. That's what you're really saying. You accept that is true. And therefore, this is just a dig that you're just taking your position till the end.
Okay. I understand what's Kaneda Bechush. A person feels that consciousness is in the brain. You actually feel it. What does he mean? He means Kaneda Bechush. Or it means that if the nerves are cut.
That you experience the actual labor in your brain.
What do you feel that? What does he mean, Kaneda Bechush?
Knowledge of your Abram, and then the brain, Kaneda Bechush. So you want to take an extreme example that concept of the ghost in it. People that lose arms, they're in extreme pain in the mind, because this reality is not there. Their mind still has that
the mental counterpart of the organ.
The mind still has the aver. They feel pain in the arm that's not there. They feel it in the arm, that's the part. It hurts over here.
Right.
It's called the phantom.
Right, I know. I've read about it.
Phantom organs. It's not a scientific. So the arm is missing, Nachmana Litzlan, and they feel pain in the arm because it's the mental counterpart of the arm. To undo it in the brain. Because, in other words, the arm as it exists in the mental counterpart of it. So what is it? The nerve. It's the nerve.
But you can say the same thing that even prior to that, it existed.
So what is it, a nerve? A nerve in the brain? What is it? Huh?
Let's look at the eyesight, right? Is your optic nerve the section of the brain that this...
And it consists of nerves?
Yeah, bundles of nerves. So they terminate.
No, the Lashon HaSidus is that the soul is in the Gidei HaMayach. I guess it's the nerves. And the Gidei HaMayach transmit the nefesh to every part. And the bundle of nerves, the optic nerves, connect to the nerves in the eye, right? Directly. Huh?
Yeah. That's how I understood the term Machshava Shevirei.
Right.
Because the nerves are really extensions of the brain.
Brain.
Because it's made up of the same type. It's a nerve cell.
Same fiber, huh?
Same type of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly different form, but the same kind of tissue, like blood tissue is different.
And if the nerves are detached, there's no more sensation, right? So they could prick the leg and there's no. What if it's severed?
Or even diseased to the point doesn't be like leprosy.
If it doesn't transmit the electrical impulse
from the brain to the leg.
One nerve. It's a bunch of nerves. One nerve sends a signal to the next to the next. It's a chain of domino reaction. The impulses.
And so. And there'll be no sensation of pain.
That's what anesthesia is. Anesthesia is to shut off that sensation.
But the religious concept, regarding to the aver, is that the person feels the pain because it's really situated in the brain.
In the brain.
And that's really where you feel pain. You're not feeling pain in your finger.
Right.
Because what happens is when you get the prick, it travels up the same path into the mind. That's where your sensation really is. That's where your eye is.
So the
finger doesn't hurt. Your mayach became aware of what's happening in
the finger, and that's pain. That's painful.
The mayach's extension within the finger was touched. But it itself exists in the brain. That position
starts in the brain.
I understand this kind of kinetic b'chush more like on the whole concept of form, the form of the guf. It's like they have to prove it. Like you say, it's a pure light. The argument, the counter, is that it's just a pure light and it's like the color of the glass. But the whole goof at some point didn't exist, right? It had to form. So something is driving the form, right?
Because
you have an eye where you have your eye where your eye is, right? Yes, the aver draws. But even let's look at where the aver came. We came from a place that the ear, eyes, and nose were all mixed into one simple thing.
Fetus,
right?
So the embryo, no?
It was a genetic code.
It's still very mysterious. That process, while your nose is not here.
No, but there's a genetic code.
Even when they deal, yeah.
So you're saying that it's chatchila from the nefesh.
When they did the genetic code, they're only dealing with proteins that deal with certain traits.
Right, the sequencing and organization, they have
all the talk in the last 10 years about the DNA was for specific traits. But they never even dealt with, because it was even much more profound, to find within the DNA the positioning of things. That
right.
was never even discussed. That was
and the meaning of the positioning of the DNA itself.
Yes, they found the protein that controls, they found the DNA that controls the protein that controls your eye color. Bottom line is the body is made out of proteins, so that code produces the protein for blue eyes. But they never dealt at all, even how in it to mapping out never even contained the concept of mapping the drivers for position. The tzir piece was not part of that map. When they're talking deciphering the code, it was not in relation to position. You don't see that kind of when you read articles, you're not reading about codes that position the nose where it is and not in the middle of the forehead.
There's a lot yet to
talk about traits, specific traits, not form. Tzir was still much more. DNA stuff was there 20, 30 years, a long time. Now the mapping is computer, now the mapping is becoming developed.
But the mapping still doesn't
the
explain
concept,
the
they're just getting it completely. You know, they get the concept was it's not understood
right.
for the entire genome. You know?
But still, they don't
more recently is Kedushim happening in the concept of where in the genes they find form. Seer of the body.
That they don't have yet.
And you don't see a lot of stuff written about it. But I was reading now about it.
Starting
to detect this, starting to make experiments, the same type of experiments, but with flies, where they find certain changes in a certain sequence will put
We'll do Maitiv. You daven Maitiv already? You davened.
Even in a stone, it says it's oil.
Yeah.
That the Hashem also represents the physical as well as the intellectual.
That's the Vart here, yeah.
That's the Vart.
Yeah.
I came across it in the Vart this week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the shaman and everything.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.